The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
I think it, and it becomes a fact. That's the latest delusion of former US President Donald Trump, as he claimed in an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News that the documents in the Mar-a-Lago probe were all declassified simply because he thought it. This is what he said.
You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yes.
Okay. Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different things, but as I understand it, there doesn't have to be. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it, and there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything.
I declassified everything by thinking about it and sending all the stuff to Mar-a-Lago and refusing to give it back, of course, when it was sought. Now, this comes on foot of the Justice Department being given permission by a court of appeal to continue its investigation into the Mar-a-Lago document probe. And meantime, Donald Trump this week faced more trouble over his corporate tax affairs, along with members of his family, and disturbing stuff about the behaviour of the wife of Supreme Court Judge Clarence Thomas, and all of this while Joe Biden attempts to keep a nuclear war at bay. We're going to Terry Sheridan, news director at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
Very interesting week. Let's talk about reaction to Donald Trump. Everything he thinks makes it so.
Well, if you're saying that the investigations are a witch hunt, it's probably not wise to say that you are actually practicing witchcraft by thinking something and having it done. But no, this was not a good week for the former president, nor a good week for his family, because he's lost everything that's been appealed so far. He has lost this week in the investigation into the documents, and then also the legal suit, the lawsuit filed in New York State.
Now, let's talk about that interview with Sean Hannity. The fact that he tried to, you know, magic up some formula for declassifying top secret documents and according to reports, stuff about nuclear weaponry and all that contained in those documents, does it indicate in rushing to Hannity that he really feels he needs to get his narrative out there?
Yeah, get his narrative out there and continue to push it. Now, here's the thing, and this is where it ultimately might cause him trouble, and it's being called the Fox defense, which he or any of his surrogates go on Fox or any of the other right-wing news outlets to lay out their case, but they can't bring it into court, and none of the attorneys that he has hired have brought it into court because it is demonstrably false. The attorneys would lose their license and could be sanctioned, as well as, you know, the penalties against Trump. So while he's trying to rile his base, while he's trying to make his case on Fox, his attorneys really can't. And the special master, Judge Raymond Deary, basically challenged them this week to say, hey, if you think that these documents were planted, you need to bring it into court. If you think that these documents were declassified, you need to state it and state how. And they've not been able to do so.
Now, the Department of Justice had suffered a setback in that a federal judge said you can't be investigating these documents while the court process is ongoing, but the Department of Justice appealed to an appeal court of three judges, two of them appointed by Trump or during the Trump era, and they found against the original federal judge.
And they found against it unanimously. Two were appointed by Trump, one was appointed by Obama. And in their decision, they all three stood behind it. So it wasn't as if they voted and the majority won. But they ripped apart Judge Aileen Cannon's decision, basically saying, we don't know what you were thinking in this, because she had given Trump every benefit of the doubt, even when it wasn't required or wasn't legal, as saying, well, he's the former president, he should get some sort of special treatment. Or the whole thing about, wait a minute, you're making a claim, but you're not providing any evidence for it, or I'm going to rule for this even though you're not asking it. The other thing was that the special master the same day ruled that, yes, the 100 documents that the federal government says were classified, they need to be sent back and the investigation continued. So it was a double whammy.
Now, while all of this is going on, there are other matters afoot. The January the 6th committee is going to have its final report and an opportunity to show more video that they have accumulated. But also, and this is really shocking, the wife of a Supreme Court judge, Clarence Thomas, was actually active in the run-up to January the 6th in trying to ally herself with Trump and his claim that the election was stolen.
Absolutely. Ginny Thomas is the wife of Clarence Thomas. She has been a longtime conservative activist. And at times in the past, before even this came up, there's been some question whether Judge Thomas should recuse himself from certain cases. But not only was she one of the sponsors of the January 6th rally, the legal rally that was held in front of the White House, but in the days leading up to the rally, she was pressuring various state election boards in Arizona, in Georgia, for instance, to uncertify or not certify the results in favor of Joe Biden and to kick it back. She has so far fought to appear against appearing before the January 6th committee, but she has worked out a deal, and we'll see what happens when they meet again next Wednesday.
Now, you're not your spouse's keeper. Everyone has their own individual identity, and there have been, I suppose, celebrated cases of husbands and wives taking different political sides. But when you're the spouse of someone in the Supreme Court, it puts you in a very special position.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, even, and here's the whole thing, even if there is no misconduct, the appearance of misconduct in the judicial system is enough to cast doubt. And that is when Judge Thomas, Justice Thomas, in certain cases involving his wife or involving his wife's causes, should perhaps recuse himself. But he has refused to so far. And one of the things that was interesting earlier this year, where there were going back last year, in which Justice Thomas was the only justice to say that, well, texts should be protected relating to the January 6th events. Who knows? Was that because Ginny Thomas was making text or texting people inside the White House? That's part of the speculation.
Yeah. I mean, it is reported that she was texting Mark Meadows. So,
yeah,
you know, that's that's close to Trump himself. So Ginny Thomas does not kind of see herself like Caesar's wife having to be seen to be above reproach.
No, she has been very, very active in politics and in conservative causes basically for the last 30 years.
Moving on to his business difficulties, and you know, we reported earlier in a new book that about his business life that at one occasion he was paid in gold bricks for some property deal. On another occasion, he conceded that, you know, you might be dealing with the mob. You never know in New York who you're dealing with.
Well, yes. I mean, the whole thing with Donald Trump's business, it has been very unorthodox. If you go back and through the history, it was a successful, with his father ran it, Fred Trump. It was a relatively small, successful business, but it was based in the outer boroughs of New York City. And there was a certain, as you said, you know, to be polite, a laissez-faire attitude towards certain things. But no, Donald Trump has been pulled into the mob. I mean, let me be careful what I say there. It has been noted that Donald Trump has had dealings with the mafia when he was making Trump Tower and other buildings in New York City.
Okay. Now, meantime, the lawsuit against him and members of his family, it's a very comprehensive document that is accusing them of all sorts of wrongdoing. He will claim this is a witch hunt. What's its provenance, this investigation?
Well, this is a civil suit, so there are no criminal charges involved. New York Attorney General Tish James filed it earlier this week, although she did say that she has made a referral to the Department of Justice and the FBI. Basically states that Donald Trump and the Trump Organization, including three of his grown children, engaged in fraud by inflating the value of their properties, misrepresenting how much money they had, how much they were taking in. in order to get either favorable rates when they took out loans or with insurance, or as counterintuitive it might sound, there would be certain tax breaks if you hit a certain area. Now, for instance, they're saying his Trump Tower apartment, which is actually 30,000 square feet, it's actually 10,000 square feet. They reported it that it was 30,000 square feet. They said it was worth $327 million when actually it would be worth $80 million on the market. So what they're going after is saying you are filing false instruments to get better rates from the bank, to be able to get loans, to able to get better insurance deals, and also in certain cases tax breaks.
So what are the sanctions were he to lose against these suits?
Well, the financial sanction would be $250 million in fraud. It would also prevent him from, for 5 years, or prevent the company from 5 years, buying any property in commercial property in New York State. It would also forbid them from getting a loan from any bank that is registered in New York State. And it would also, it would pretty much shut down the company as we know it. The $250 million, yes, it's significant, but it's not unweatherable for the Trump organization. But the fact that they couldn't do business in New York would be a major setback.
Terry Sheridan, News Director at WSHU Public Radio. Thank you very much, Terry, for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.